Okay, Shalom Rabose, today's daf is Yuma Daf Ayin Ches. We had left off on Ayin Zayin Amud Beis. The last thing we had said, we mentioned that it's mutter to go on Yom Kippur through a water up to a person's neck, a still body of water, not a river, because that's dangerous, but a still body of water to do certain mitzvahs, to go see your Rebbe, to go see your father, etc. The Gemara had asked that question, meaning they asked the question, I thought the Pasuk says, doesn't the Pasuk say that you can't go into water up to your neck because it's dangerous? And the Gemara had answered, because no, in Hanami, that's when a river, the water is flowing, so that's already intense. But if the water is just still, so then it's mutter, and it's also mutter to go on Yom Kippur because it's not an issue of Rechitza. But the Pasuk we had quoted was a pasuk in Yechezkel, where basically Yechezkel was shown a nevuah, right, in the base of Mikdash HaShlishi, and there'll be a river flowing out of the Kodesh Kadashim that will progressively get bigger. So we're basically up to there. We're up to that, but the Gemara is now going to come back and explain that pasuk in greater detail. So the Gemara said, well, let's see, we're 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 lines up. 10 lines up in the Gemara, and Ayin, Zayin, Amud Beis. We're starting with Yochel, which is 3 lines from the end of the lines. The Gemara says, Yochel Yavirene B'Sichoi. You might have thought that a person, again, crossing this river that comes out of the Kodesh Kadashim, you might have thought that you could swim through it. You could swim through this river. Again, we said it progressively got bigger, and you couldn't get through, right? Once it was waist deep, he said he couldn't get any further. So maybe you might have thought he could swim through it. The pasuk says, Kigo Amayim, because the Kigo Amayim may sahu. Right? The water became, right? Go. Excuse me. The water became greater. Meisahu. My meisahu. What does that mean? That shiuta means swimming. I mean, it got to the point where you couldn't swim across. Shekein kuren l'shaita saicha. Excuse me. Sorry. Just something caught my throat. Because people would call swimming saicha, meaning the idea that the water got high enough that a person could not even cross it by swimming. Yochli avirana b'burni katana. You might have thought that you could cross it with a small boat. Stam alam, therefore the pasuk says, Bal teilech ani shayit. Ani shayit can't go in these waters. Yeah, meaning, and then shayit is a boat. Yochli avirani b'burni gdola, maybe a big boat. So therefore, tam alam, v'tzi adir lo yavirana. Even a tzi adir could not cross it. The Gemara says, my mashna. How do you know that tzi adir and ani shayit are talking about two different types of boats? Kidimatargim Rav Yosef, like Rav Yosef translated into Aramaic, so lo tozil be bisvinas tayadin uburni rabsi lo tegozina. Right, you fit a small boat of fishers. Tayadim are fishers or trappers, literally, but fishing. Right, where you trap in the sea. Right, a trapping boat is a fishing boat. Cannot cross it, and a very big boat. Right, not a cruise ship, but like a very very big boat. Right, cannot cross it either. Okay, I'm Rabbi Yehuda ben Pazi. Af Malcham Abbas Ein Lo Rishus Lavra B'Socho. Even in Lasi Lavo, even at the time of the third base on Mikdash, the Malcham Abbas won't be able to cross it because he has Gzer Shava. Ksiv Hacha. It says over here, Baal Teleich Bo Ani Shait. Ksiv Hasam Mashot Ba Mishot Ba Aretz. That the Malcham Abbas would be Mishot means to wander, but wander on the ground. Meaning that since you have the word Shut and Shait, right? If a Shait can't pass it, so too something that Mishot Ha Aretz. Ba'aret, something that travels all over the ground, like the Malcham Abbas, also cannot pass this, go through this water. Okay. Amar Rabbi Pinchas Mishum Rabbi Huna Tzipora. He said the following. He said, Mayan HaYotzi B'Beis HaKadosh Kadosh, this river that we're talking about, but Chidu Doma L'Karnei Chagavim. Initially, it looks like the antenna of Chagavim is a grasshopper. It looks like the antenna of a grasshopper. Kemish HaGiyah, the Pesach HaHeichal, once it gets to the entrance of the Heichal, right, again, it's going out of the Kodesh Kadosh, right? So you're going to hit the various parts of the Beis HaMikdash on the way out. So once it hit the Heichal, so Nasika Chushel Shasi, right, it becomes as wide as a Shasi, which is a part of a loom. Kemish HaGiyah, the Ula, Nasika Chushel Erev, and Erev was a wider part of the womb of a loom. So it got even wider. Kevin Shagil Pesach Hazara Nasik Efi Pach Katan. Then it became as wide as a small little jug. Vayinu D'tan. This is what the Mishnah says. Mishnah Midos, right? Rabbi Lezer Omer. Rabbi Lezer said that Mayim Mefachin. This water from a pach, from a jug, right? Asidin Lios Yotzim Miftan Abayis is going to end up coming out of the entrance to the Beis HaMikdash. That's what we're saying, that the river will flow out, right, as wide as the mouth of a jug. Right, it kept on getting wider and stronger, this river, until it got to the house of Beis David. Rashi actually here is on Amud Beis, right? If you look at Rashi, on the last Rashi on Amud Beis, really should be on Ardaf, but okay. All right, it says, Hitzion Chutz Yerushalayim, that's right, again, that's outside Yerushalayim, where we have Ir David nowadays. So once it got there, it got much greater until it got there. Came Shemagil, the Pesach Beit David. Once it got there, so then Naskenachal Shotev, then it really became a flowing river. Shabo Rochs and Zavim, Zavos Nidos, Vyoldos, like people could go to the mikveh for that, right? Anybody needed to go to the mikveh, they could already, there was enough water there to go into the mikveh. Shenemar's Pazak says, Bayomahu Yemakort Neftach, the Beit David, the Yishvei Shalayim, the Chatas Lenida. That's exactly the point, right? The Chatas Lenida for people to be Matahir. From those issues. Amar Rav Yosef, Mikam Remez Lanida Shetzucha Leishiv Ad Sava B'Mayim. Here, apparently, we see that a woman, when she's a nida, goes to the mikvah, has to sit up until her neck in the water. Again, since we said that this river got so big, right, that to the point where you can go into it and be a proper mikvah. The pasuk doesn't say it went to its neck, right? The pasuk says it cut off at the waist. But it must be higher, right? That's the kind of the step up, right? And that's what Rav Yosef said. Once it gets right from the waist, right, then the next level up is to the neck. But that's not actually true, right? The water doesn't actually have to get to the neck, right? It just has to be right above, you know, as much as she can get to dip down into it. Again, we've seen Gemara's also talk about how much, right, one amma by three ammas, how much water there needs to be. Okay, the halacha is not like that. The water has to go up to her neck. Right? Obviously, women anybody who goes to the mikvah has to get to the point where their entire body is under the water at any single point. And the point over here is that the reason it has to be high enough is because when a person bends over, right, sometimes the folds of their body, right, if you have enough skin or flab or fat or whatever it is, it'll fold over. So the water won't reach all of the parts of the body. It has to be high enough so that you can get your entire body under the water at once and you won't be kind of, you know, doubled over with the creases in your skin. Okay, fine. The parentheses we're going to skip, but we don't really have to because it's talking about, it gets us kind of reoriented here now. Again, we had talked about going through the water, so, and we said that it's fine, right, to go through the water on Yom Kippur, but Tenach Yom Kippur, Delaka Minah, I mean, there's no issue wearing a shoe on Yom Kippur, but the reason we take it out is because you can wear other shoes. The word Tanakh is also weird. Anyway, Lamaisa Shabbos Dika Mino Mai. What's the din? Right, on Shabbos, when you're walking, wearing shoes, right? Pashas is a Yom Kippur, right? You're not wearing shoes, or Shiloh was about any other shoes made out of leather, but made not out of leather. But Pashas is on Shabbos, you're definitely wearing nice shoes. I mean, what is the issue with going through water on Shabbos? I mean, maybe, as Rashi says, maybe the water will make the shoes slip off, and then you'll end up carrying your shoes. And then you're going to have, right, Avi, the Mavrid al-Ramas for Sarab, and that's going to be an issue. So Gemara says, what about that halachic issue? So Gemara says, Amar Rav Nechemia, Chasnei de Benesia, so Rav Nechemia, the son-in-law of the Nasi, said, Ana Chazisu de Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi, de Matu, or Kuma, de Maya. I saw Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi do this. Right, they came to a water on Shabbos, Vavru Derech Malbush, and they went in, they're wearing their shoes. So apparently, right, it wasn't a big deal. So the Gemara says, okay, Tinach Minal, I understand shoes are tied to the feet properly, but sandal ma'ikal meimar. What if you're wearing sandals? That's straight up. That's the word we use nowadays, right? You're wearing flip flops, so that could really fall off. So I mean, we're concerned. Maybe you'll carry it. So Amar Rav Rihumi said. I don't remember ever seeing Rav Rihumi in the Gemara. Okay. Either way, Rav Rihumi says, Ana chazisa the Ravina the over derech malbush. I saw Ravina doing this. He was crossing with sandals. Rav Ashi said, the sandal lechachila lo. It's not the greatest idea. Right? Lechachila, you really shouldn't go through water in sandals. So the Gemara says, Reish Galusa, Ikle Lagronia, the bear of Nasan. Again, Reish Galusa came to Rav Nasan's house, based marriage or whatever. Raf from Vakuli Rabbanan Asu the Birka, and Raf from Maral the Rabbanan, where he came to this year. But Ravina lo asa, but Ravina did not come. So Amachar, the next day, by Raf from Lafuki, the Ravina medaita de Reish Galusa. The next day, Raf from wanted to kind of like visit Ravina so that the Reish Galusa wouldn't be upset that he didn't come to the shir. He wanted to know why he missed the shir, right? He didn't want the Reish Galusa to be upset at him. So Amalei said to him, "My time will also my lepirka. Why didn't you come?" So Amalei said to him, "Have a kayv likari. My foot was hurting." So Iboile, so Rafam said back to him, "Iboile achlamesam masane. So why don't you wear shoes?" So he says, "Gaba de kara Hava. It was the top of my foot, meaning the shoes would have hurt the top of my foot, right? Putting it at the bottom of my foot wouldn't help. So he said, sandala. So, okay, so what about sandals, right? It's not such a tight fit. So he said to him, Amalei, he said back to him, Urkuma demaya hava ba'orcha, because there was some water on the way, right? It was a flood or a river or whatever, and you're not allowed to walk through water with sandals. So the Gemara says, Iboy leila mabre derech malbush. So you should have worn them. Rafram said, just wore them through. So I'm lazy. Ravina said back to him, Lo sova lemar, da'am Ravashi, it sounded like chachila lo. Well, don't you hold like Ravashi that it's not the greatest idea to go through the water with chachila? You shouldn't go through the water with sandals. So Ravina said to him, so oh, taka, so that's why I didn't want it. It wasn't the chachila, so I stayed home. Now, Tosis Shannon points out a great point, right? Unfortunately, whenever I read through a Gemara, you kind of skip over the names, right? Okay, this rabbi did this, this rabbi did that. Obviously, you try to pay attention as much as you can, but you focus on context. What did we say a second ago? Right, we said it a second ago, Rav Ruchami said, Ana chazisa l'ravina d'avar derech malbush. I saw Ravina crossing a pool of water in sandals. And now Ravina is saying, what do you mean? Why don't you hold like Ravashi, that l'chachil alo, that you really shouldn't cross through a pool of water with sandals, right? That was back-to-back in the Gemara. Right, and now we have Ravina talking to Rafram and saying, hey, what do you mean? The halacha is that you shouldn't go through water. Didn't Ravina do that? Ruchumi said he saw him. Right, so what's going on over here? So yeah, a couple answers, right? Answers you could probably think of yourself. Right, it could be that he didn't actually hold like that, but he just didn't want Rafram to bother him. It could be different Ravina. Could be he changed his mind. Okay, it's a good muster to get once in a while that you should pay attention to who says what. My Rebbe used to joke that Rav Sachs used to joke that everybody knows the halacha that it's appropriate to say over a Dvar Torah you heard from someone in his name, right? Everybody, it's a pretty well known halacha that if you ever say a Dvar Torah you heard from somebody, you shouldn't just say it of your own. Actually, you should quote him. It's very important to quote him. Except nobody knows who said that halacha in the Gemara, right? it's very ironic. Okay, either way. So says the Gemara Vayter now. Tani Yehuda Bar Grogoros, he said the following, that also Leshe Vagabi Tina B'Yom Kippur. You're not allowed to sit in mud, right? Just like you're not allowed to wash yourself, you're not allowed to sit in mud on Yom Kippur. And remember, Shub and Levi, Uvetina Metapachas. We're talking about wet mud. Again, because it's an idea of washing yourself. Yes, you'll get dirty. But the idea here is Tanug through liquid, through moisture. Amar Abayiva, he said, Uvetufeach, Amnas Latviach. And again, it has to be wet enough that it can make something else wet. Right? That's how wet it has to be. Amar Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda said, "What are the standing imperials? Person is allowed to cool himself off in Yom Kippur with fruit, right? And you put some cold apple on your skin. That's fine. Rav Yehuda mitzdanim bekara. Rav Yehuda would use some sort of gourd. Rav mitzdanim binuka. He would use a baby, soft skin like a baby. Okay. Rav mitzdanim bekasa dekasa." Dikaspa, Rava would use a cold silver metal cup, right? Again, metal if it's cold, right? Then it cools yourself off. Amra Papa, Rav Papa says, Kasa Dikaspa Male Aser. If you're holding a cup of silver that's full, so then, right, filled with liquid, then it's Aser, because obviously we're concerned for the overflow that you may actually enjoy the wetness that spills over. Chaser shari, but if it's not full, so then it's mutter because it's not going to overflow. The pachra, but if it's made out of pottery, so then either the aser bathem or aser mishum de mishkal shakil, because the liquid comes through the sides. Meaning we're not talking about something that's been glazed over. We're talking about mamash like a pottery cup, or you can imagine that there's something that's some sort of imperfection. The water may come through that cup, and that would be aser. Ravashi, Amar Ravashi says, kasa the kaspa chaser nami aser. He says, I disagree with Rav Papa, and even a silver cup that's not full, it's also no good because Mishum Dimizdarev, because it might slip out of your hand, and then obviously the water would end up going on you, and that would cool you off with water, and that'd be an issue. Zira Barchama Ushbezachnin. Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi, Rabbi Shub and Levi, the Kul Rabbanan, the Kesari Hava. Ziri Bechama was hosting all these Rabbanim. Right, again, pay attention to the names, right? So Rabbi Ami was Rabbi Asi, Rabbi Shub and Levi, and the Rabbanim of Kesaria. Right, very cool. That I love when we have a modern day place that is quoted in the Gemara. Right, you can go to Kesaria, right, and walk the same steps as the Rabbanim did. Anyway, so they used to hang. They were hanging out by Ziri Bechama. Amar Leila Rav Yosef Breid Rav Yishuv Ben Levi. He said to Rav Yosef, "Rav Yishuv Ben Levi Bar Arya." Again, that was a compliment, right? It means a lion cub, right? Son of a lion, right? Ta imalucham milsam al Yosef da'av avid avucha. Come here, and I'll tell you something great that your father used to do, right? Again, Rav Shimon Levi, right? The father of Rav Yosef. So he said, "Mitpachas ha'yalo be'erev Yom Kippur." We have a cloth on Erev Yom Kippur. The shoros of a Miami would soak it in water. The osusakim in kelim neguvim, and you make it. He would dry it out, meaning he would wring it out, so that it was still kind of sort of moist, but not really. The next day, Yom Kippur, he would wash his hands and feet with it, because again, it was still wet enough. I mean, it wasn't wet to the point it was going to wet in anything else. But and then, again, that's what we saw right by the mud, right? That if it's going to make something else wet, then it's no good. But if it's still sort of moist, but it's not really wet, so then it's mutter. So he said that was the great thing he used to do, that he used to kind of like be able to cool himself to something that wasn't usher. Erev Tisha B'Av, on Erev Tisha B'Av, which also has, you know, coming up, it also has the five Inuyim, so what would he do? Right, there's one very important difference between Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, as we'll see in a second. Right, so Shora Uzzah B'Mayim, he would do the same thing. He would take a piece of cloth, dip it in water on Erev Tisha B'Av, right, Umacha the next day, Ma'avir al-Gabi'ina, he'd pass it over his eyes. Right, notice what's missing? Right, it's missing that he would wring it out. That he would make it dry, because what was the point of bringing it out? Because on Yom Kippur, right, is Nisr Malacha, right, and therefore he was concerned that he might do schita if the towel was too wet, right, it was still wet from yesterday, so you might wring it out on Yom Kippur, and that would be Usr. That's an Usr schita. On Tisha B'Av, there's no Nisr Malacha, so he didn't have to do that. So he would just kind of use it to cool himself. Said, same thing. He would come in Erev Tisha B'Av, they bring him some sort of cloth. Veshoros of the Mayim, he put it in water. He put it under his head. The next day, he would wash his hands and feet, his face, hands and feet with it. Erev Yom Kippur, and as opposed to on Erev Yom Kippur, when they would bring him a cloth, Veshoros of the Mayim, dip it in water. So come in Kalim Neguvim again. Then he would dry it out. Right, wring it out, and the next day, right on Yom Kippur, he would pass it over. Literally means pass over his eyes, right? He put it on his eyes to kind of like clean out the crust or whatever. Amar le Rabbi Yaakov, le Rabbi Yirmiya bar Tachlifa, he said, Imcha Amar Talan, you told us the opposite, meaning that he would dry it out on Yom Tisha B'Av and not on Yom Kippur. And the problem is, right, we told you no. The issue, the whole point of wringing it out, right, is because it might be an issue of schita. So therefore, it must have been the reverse, that he dried it out before Yom Kippur and not before Tisha B'Av. Okay. Now the Gemara is going to have a couple of questions here asked of Rabbi. Who is it? Rabbi Elazar. Right. Shalos Rabbi Elazar. The first one has nothing to do with anything, and the second one really is related to us, and that's why they are grouping it together. So Amar of Menashia Bar Tachlifa, Amar of Amram, Amar of Bar Bechana. Shalu is Rabbi Elazar. They asked Rabbi Elazar the following shayla: Zaken v'yoshev v'yeshiva. Someone who is sitting, an older person sitting in the yeshiva. Now that's not what we would call, you know, a kol guy. If you look at Rashi, right, it means where is that Rashi? You can never find anything. Straight across. I'm reading the Sanhedrin. Okay, 1 second. Well, I'm getting to So smack down in the middle of that Rashi, Zaken v'yoshev v'yeshiva, Zaken yoshev v'yeshiva Sanhedrin. Who? We're talking about someone who sits on the Sanhedrin. So big time Talmud Chacham. So what about somebody who sits on a Sanhedrin? Tzarech litol rishus la'atir b'choros o eino tzarech. Does he need permission? Does he need rishus to matir, to allow a b'chor? What's going on over here? So an animal that is born to a cow or a sheep or a goat obviously is a b'chor. That is kadosh mirechem. That is kadosh as soon as it is born, and you have to give it to the kohen. That becomes a korban, unless it has what's called a mum kavua, a permanent mum. And at that point, the kohen can keep it and eat it, and everything is cool. So the question is, when we're talking about matir b'choros, that phrase, allowing b'choros, that means you have to judge whether the mum on the animal is a permanent mum or not. Obviously, you know, if it's missing a leg, that's a permanent mum. But let's say it gets a blemish, I don't know, an eye cataract or, you know, some sort of injury. So you have to judge and figure out whether it's a mum kavua, or if it's a mum over, if it's just a temporary mum, so then it still is kadosh and needs to be offered on the mizbeach right as soon as that heals. So they need some sort of figuring out over here when an animal has a mum, when a bechor has a mum. So the question is, do you need permission? Do you need rishus? Does the guy need rishus? Does he need smicha? Right, some sort of, as we'll see in a second, rishus from the nasi, to be able to judge this kind of stuff. My kamei b'ilei. So the Gemara says, what was the shaila here? So the Gemara says, how can kamei b'ilei? This was the shaila. Ki'ad amar Rav Idi bar Avin, This was given to the house of the Nasi, meaning permission to be able to judge these cases. You had to go and ask the Nasi to be able to become one of these dayanim, shall we say, to use the modern phrase, because to give kavod to the Nasi, that the Nasi should be the one appointing these people. So therefore, according to that, meaning once that you tell me that the Nasi has to be the one who's giving smicha, who's giving rishus to these people to judge these matters, so if someone's on the Sanhedrin, right, Pashas is that he's fairly educated in Torah law. So Tzarech Litol Rishus Odilma came into Zakat Yosha B'Yeshiva in Tzarech. Does he need to go ask Rishus or not? Right? Because, okay, he kind of knows what he's talking about anyway. This Gemara says, Amen Rabbi Tzadok ben Chalukah al-Raglav. Amen, he said, and he raises Rabbi Yossi ben Zimra, Shazakim Yosha B'Yeshiva, who I saw that Rabbi Yossi ben Zimra, he was on the Sanhedrin, V'Amen B'Maila Mizkeno Shalzeh, and he was standing before is the grandfather of, right, she says, the grandfather of the Nasi right now, meaning, I guess, the Nasi that was, or two generations ago, whatever. Anyway, Venatal Rosh Hashanah Slavti Bechoros, so sure enough, he did ask for permission. Amalei Rabbi Abba, lo kachay emaisa. He said, nah, Rabbi Abba said, what are you talking about? That's not what happened. El kachay emaisa. This is what happened. Rabbi Yosef ben Zimra, kohen hayu. Rabbi Yosef ben Zimra was a kohen. Ve'achi kami boilei. And this was the shayla. Halach kari meir, da amar chashur abadavar, d'lo danu v'lo me'ido. Right, again, this has nothing to do with taking rishus. Rabbi Yosef ben Zimra was a kohen. And the problem with being a kohen and judging matters of a bechor is that the kohen is invested, right? If there's a permanent mum, so then the enel becomes the property of the kohen, right? He can use it. If there's no permanent mum, then it goes on the mizbeach. So the question is, halach Rabbi Meir is the halach like Rabbi Meir, the Amar who says achash b'daver lo dano v'lo meido, that someone who's suspected in this matter, again, the kohen is a personal stake, so he can't judge it, right? Is he not allowed to judge? This cases of mulma and a bechor, odoma, or maybe the lacha k'rabishim gamliel. Maybe the lacha k'rabishim gamliel. The amaru says neman who al shel chaveru, v'enu neman al shel asmo. That yeah, when is a kohen not allowed to judge a bechor case? That's when we're talking about his own animal. But if it's another kohen's animal who he technically has no vested interest in whatsoever, so maybe he is allowed to judge. That was the shaila that Rabbi Yosef ben Zimra asked the grandfather of the Nasi. So therefore, Upashalai, and he answered him that Halacha Rishim Gamliel, but Halacha is sure enough that a Kohen is allowed to judge these matters if it's not his animal. Okay, so that was one question they asked Rabbi Elazar, and now the second question is really relevant to us. Vesu Kami Baile, they asked further, right? Mahu Latseis Basandel Shel Sham. Are you allowed to, Biyom Kippurim, are you allowed to go out with shoes that are made out of Sham? Sham, Rashi says, Min Guma, some sort of reed type of shoe. Right, again, not a leather shoe, but this reed type shoes. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak ben Achmeni al Raglav Amar. He stood up and he said, "Ani Raizis Rabbi Shuv and Levi Shiotzav Sandal Shal Sham Yom Kippurim." I saw Rabbi Shuv and Levi go out with a sandal on Yom Kippur, right? And that's fine. Va'amin Alay, and I said to him, and I asked him, the Shaila, but Tainus Tzibur Mai? What about? Are you allowed to wear the shoe on a Tainus Tzibur? Now we know the word phrase Tainus Tzibur applies to means a public fast, like we had yesterday, right? Shavuos Batamos. That is not what the usually, 90% of the times the Gemara says Tainus Tzibur, that's referring to the Tanisim that they used to make if there was no rain in Eretz Yisrael, right? They had a series of progressively more stringent fasts if there was no rain in Eretz Yisrael, and that's sure enough what Rashi says, right? Hanigzar ala Geshamim, these fasts that were gozer because there was no rain. If you at some point, right, it got to the point where they were not allowed to do the five inuyim, that those things became usher, just like Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. So he asked him, if you're allowed to go out with these on Yom Kippur, what about on a Tais Tzibur? Amar Leh Loshna, and he said to him, sure enough, right, there's no difference in halacha between Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av and these Tainus Tzibur's when there was no rain. Amar Rabba Bar Rechana, Ani Raisi Rabbi Elazar Deman, in Ninveh. I saw Rabbi Elazar from Ninveh. Shiotzel b'sandal shel sham b'tainus tzibur. Sure enough, I saw him go out with his reed shoe on a tainus tzibur. And I asked him, right, the opposite child, right? Yom Kippur mai. Right? Yom Kippur mai, is it mutter to wear this on Yom Kippur? And again, Amar Leh lo shna. He said to me, it doesn't make a difference. Rabbi Yehuda Novik b'dehitani. Rabbi Yehuda went out on Yom Kippur with a hitani. Rashi says another type of min sham, another type of reed. Okay, he's again not a leather shoe. Abayi nafik b'dehutze. He went out with, Rashi says over here, that sandal shel kapot tamarim, which means palm tree leaves. Okay, abayi nafik b'dehutze. That was shel asavim, a grass shoe. Rava nafik. What does that change to? Bidi Bali, okay, maybe, and what's Bidi Kule, okay. Either way, also some sort of grass shoe. And Rabbi Bar Huna Korech Sudra Akare Fenafik. Rabbi Bar Huna would wrap some sort of handkerchief around his foot, and that's what he would wear on Yom Kippur. Right, again, obviously nowadays we have a bit more technology with the shoes, and that's the halacha. Right, again, as you're going to see, the halacha is going to debate. The Gemara here is going to debate whether it's leather per se, or is it other type of shoes that are still proper shoes and comfortable, but not leather. Okay, Pasha says, before we just see the halacha, just so you should know, right now, we pass him like the Riff, if I'm not mistaken, who is the one that says that it's leather and nothing else, meaning that only leather shoes are usher, and therefore any other shoe is mutter, even though you're going to see some opinions that say even a comfortable shoe would still be usher. Okay, right, but the tachlis is we pass in leather shoes, and that's the only thing that is usher. Therefore, we can wear all the other types of stuff that we have nowadays. Masiv Rabbi Bar Chama. Rabbi Bar Chama asked the following shayla. Said, one second. Hakitea yotzi bekav shalo. If someone, Rachman al-Islam, is missing a leg or missing a foot or whatever, so he can go out with his fake wooden foot on Shabbos, right? It's not considered a masri, it's not considered a burden, it's considered to be an actual proper shoe, a divrei Rabbi Meir, right? And again, he's not, and therefore he's not going to violate Hutzah on Shabbos, as Rabbi Meir's shita, Rabbi Yossi Oser, Rabbi Yossi says Oser. V'tani Allah will learn about that, v'shav v'shav Oser l'tzeis b'yom kippurim, but the Brisa says that both of them agree that it's Oser to go out on Yom Kippur with this wooden shoe. So how could you guys wear all this types of stuff on Yom Kippur? We see that even this type of shoe is Oser. So Rabbi said, Hasam de is beik titin, umishim tainuk. No, there, why was it Oser? Because for this guy, there's some small pieces of ktitin, of like cloth, at the front, somewhere there's some sort of pieces of cloth, and mishim tainuk, and it's enjoyable. Not enjoyable, I'd imagine, but it's comfortable to go out with such a shoe, and therefore it's usher on Yom Kippur, just like we don't wash ourselves, etc. All those things, the five inuyim, because of tanug, so too this. The Gemara said, Rava said, what are you talking about? I'm really Rava, right? If you love manahu, ketita mishavile mana, right? If you're telling me that if something is not a shoe, meaning something is not considered to be a mana, a kli, a shoe that's usher on Yom Kippur, what these cloths make it into a shoe? Right, that doesn't make it into a shoe. And also kol tanu dalav minalu b'yom kippurim mi'aser. And what are you talking about? It's not just any pleasure that you're not allowed to drive on Yom Kippur. Right? You're allowed to go, I don't know, you're allowed to go for a walk to clear your head in between davening. Right? If it's a nice day, right, you're allowed to go for a walk. What do you mean? Anything? You're not allowed to enjoy anything on Yom Kippur? Right? Just because he has cloth, it's going to be comfortable, therefore it's usher. We just said that Rabbi Bar Avuna would have a handkerchief around his foot. And also the second part of that Mishnah says that in Yesh lo beis kibul ketitin tamei, if it has a place, if that shoe has a place to put cloth, meaning it has a base kibul, it's considered a halachic kli, then it's mekabel tuma, right? If you remember, this is already a long time ago, but if you have kalim that have a hole in them, so that they're classified as a kli, and therefore they're a mekabel tuma. But the point here is mechad deresha lapidi is like ketitin askinan. Right? If the end of the Mishnah says that if this shoe has a place where you can put cloth, then it's tamei. Well, that implies that the first time we mention this shoe, there are no cloths. Right? There's nothing there that would indicate that there should be cloth. And therefore that can't be the case. So Allah Amar Rava. Rava says no. Really, what's the reason? What's this machlokas? Why do they say? Why do both of them say that it's usher to wear this shoe on Yom Kippur? Right? Because everybody holds that this foot, this wooden shoe foot thing for the amputee guy for his missing a limb. So really, it's considered to be a halachic shoe. But over Shabbos, why would it be motor? The machlokas is like this: Mar sover gazuna dila mishtamet v'asi lasuyi dal ramos. Mar sover lo gazuna. The question is whether this thing can slip off, and you may end up carrying it dal ramos b'shisarabim. So the question is if it's going to be asur midirabana. But tachlis is it's considered an actual shoe, and therefore everybody agrees it's asur to wear it on Yom Kippur. Okay. Tana rabana with under Raisa. Tinokos mutar mekulon. It's mutter to do all these. All the chamish inuyim is mutter. Obviously, not the last one, but all the other inuyim are mutter for children. Chutz minilas asandal, except for wearing shoes. The Gemara says, "Why should not minilas asandal? Why can't kids wear shoes?" Right? The Amri, because people will say, right, inshe avdule. People are going to say, no, because the adults put the shoe on for him. What's the problem with that? So that is interesting. If you look at Rashi, anshi avdule, right, gedolim asula, v'atora hizhira gedolim alaktanim shalo yasulam biyadayim davar ha'asur. But for kids, right, we know, obviously, we're familiar that kids under the bar mitzvah are allowed to do averos, quote-unquote, right? They're not chayvim mitzvos. But there's an isser, as the Gemara learns in Yevamos, as Rashi quotes over here, that people, that adults, are not allowed to actively be adayim, to actively enable them to violate the isser. Meaning, if the kid does it on his own, so, okay, so you just leave it. Right? The kid takes food on Yom Kippur, right? The kid turns the light off on Shabbos, okay, leave him alone, right? But to actively tell him, to instruct him, to do it for him, right, to feed him, the example there is quoted, is lo so chulum, lo sa chilum. The drasha is that you shouldn't feed him items that are usr, right? Food, that's treif food. If he takes something that's treif, okay, bezeder, you know, we don't make it go crazy. He's a 5-year-old kid. But to actually feed him something that's treif, to actually do something for him, right? Feed it to him biyadayim, actively, that is usr. So that over here also, people are going to assume what is the potential problem with the kid wearing shoes. So, because people will say that the adult put the shoe on the kid. So, problem is, back in the Gemara, harachnami amri inshi avdule. Well, all the other things, right? If a kid is washed or he's got some oil rubbed all over him, so people are going to say that who put the oil on? Who washed him, right? The kid, right? The father bathed the kid in the bathtub. So, Gemara says, ritzicha v'sicha eirem me'etmah avdule. No, you see, whoa, sorry about that. That's house phone ringing. So if you see a rechitza v'sika, if you see a kid who's washed, emar mitzma avdile. People will think, okay, he got cleaned on Erev Shabbat. Everybody has a bath on Erev Yontif. Right? So it must have been cleaned on Erev Yontif. The Gemara says sandal nami emar mitzma avdile. So why didn't he put his shoe on yesterday? So sandal lo efshar, right? That's not possible. Why? Sandal lo efshar deme etmo avdile. He didn't put the shoe on yesterday. Dama Shmuel, hay man de boy lemitam tam time de mituso lesayim misanei veligni. What that basically means is someone who wants to sleep comfortably, right, usually takes off his shoes. Right? It's a little bit more morbid than that, right? Literally means someone who wants to taste death should. I take it back. No, it means to put on his shoes, meaning it's not appropriate to wear shoes and not safe to wear shoes. I take it back. Completely not true. That's not what it means. Right? Start again. Damar Shmuel, high minded by the mitam time misusa, someone who wants to experience a taste of death, lisayim means to you should put on your shoes. Lisayim misani, you should put on your shoes, feligni, and go to sleep, meaning that it's not safe to wear shoes. So there's no way, I thought, again, when I read this initially, I'm just correcting myself now, when I thought originally, I thought it meant it's much more comfortable to sleep without shoes on. That's not what it means, right? Shmuel is saying here that there's some sort of danger to wear shoes to sleep. Okay, fine. So Pasha says again, the result is the same, that there's no way that you would have put the shoes on the kid yesterday, because Pasha says he took his shoes off before he went to sleep. The Gemara says, but okay, fine. But if you're telling me that that's true, so the Bryce had said, it's mutter, right? It's mutter for kids to do all the five inuyim, all the inuyim. So that implies that lechachila, right? Usually the word mutter means straight away you can do it lechachila. If something is not usher, so the Gemara will use a different language, right? And it'll say, if they did it, ain mochen biadam, we don't protest, or something like that. But if you'll tell me that the Brisa seems to imply that this is lechachila, totally fine. Not that it's usher, but okay, we don't stop that. So Gemara says, Ela hanach talav ribusayu gazri b'rabanan. So rather, no. The pshat is like this, that the chachamim were gozer. Dalav ribusayu, anything that's not important for the kid's growth, so then they were gozer. But hanach derbisayu lo gozer berabanan. Anything that's crucial for the kid's growth, right, that's important for his health. So then Chazal were not gozer. So damar abaye is abaye said. I'm really aim. My mother said again, as we mentioned already several times in this daf Yoni cycle. Right, abaye was we had that daf if you remember, where abaye just rattled off all these things his mother told him. Really, it wasn't his mother. It was the woman who raised him. Abaye was an orphan. Okay, so his mother told him. His woman who raised him told him. Revise dinuka maya chamimo mishcha. Right, the growth of a child is based on water, not based on necessarily, but helps it helps to wash him with warm water, umishka, and oil. Right? Gadol purta, when he gets older, send bayasa the kutcha, right? You have to give him a bayasa as a beitza, as an egg, with kutach. Again, you have to feed him a little bit better. Right? Gazal purta, when he gets a little bit older, so then taburi mane, right? You have to break kalim. Again, Rashi says that you can taburi kalim, why would you want the kid to break kalim? So if you look at the half kilo kalim l'shaver ulamalos tavaso, right? Again, in a way of channeling, getting out all of his extra energy, right? You got to give him a way to channel, right, his impulses. A kid needs to run around. Kid needs to go play ball. Kid needs to have an outlet. That's the word I'm looking for. So, and that's what they used to do, right? That's kiad rabba zovin lumane gezize de parcha tepachra livne. As you see, umetabulim, right? The rabba used to buy mane gezize. He used to buy these cracked kalim for his son umetabulim, and he would turn off. He would break them, right, to get out his extra energy. Okay, shkoyach kol rabosei. We'll go weiter and have a shas tomorrow. Have a great day or night, depending on where you are listening to this.